What do you do when your country's inflation rate is expected to hit 1,000,000%? This is the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. The International Monetary Fund says Venezuela's inflation rate will hit that eye-popping figure by the end of the year. Its economy has been collapsing since the crash of oil prices in 2014, leading to food shortages and unrest. Neil Shearing is Group Chief Economist at Capital Economics.
An inflation rate of 1,000,000%, if it were to pan out, and I suspect there's a good chance it will, would put Venezuela in a similar situation to that experienced by Germany in 1923, Zimbabwe in the late 2000s. But that's really it. There aren't very many historical precedents for this type of very, very rapid hyperinflation.
So what does this mean for Venezuelans day to day?
GDP in real terms is going to contract again by double-digit figures this year. That's the third consecutive contraction we've seen. Oil production's down. The fiscal position obviously is in a dire state, and government has stopped servicing essentially its foreign currency debt obligations. But really none of that matters day-to-day in Venezuela, because what really is happening now is a profound social crisis. So we're starting to see this manifest itself in widespread shortages, medical problems, health problems, huge migration flows out of the country and into neighboring countries. So really, you know, economists can debate whether it's going to be 1,000,000% and what the historical parallels and precedents for that might be. But really, this is morphed from an economic crisis to a social crisis. And actually, that's by far the more important thing right now.
Now, Nicolas Maduro blames other countries like the U.S. for deliberately trying to hurt Venezuela's economy. But what should he be doing to try and get this economic crisis under control?
The way out typically, actually, ironically, probably to adopt the U.S. dollar as a currency to stabilize the situation. Obviously, that won't happen under this current administration, but dollarization typically is a way of bringing some form of monetary stability, getting the inflation rate down. Then you have to get the public finances into shape, and only then will growth start to return and some of these economic and social problems start to ease.
Neil Shearing, let's do the numbers. China's currency has weakened to a one-year low against the U.S. dollar. This after the central bank yesterday injected $74 billion into the banking system as it looks to ease monetary policy. Meanwhile, Turkey is expected to raise interest rates today to nearly 19%. It's the first rate decision after President Erdogan, who's critical of raising rates to combat inflation, won re-election last month. Now, China's grown so fast over the past four decades that food and medicine safety has sometimes been compromised. Today, shares in a Chinese biotech firm, Changsheng, plunged for a seventh straight day, this time by the maximum daily limit of 10%. President Xi Jinping has called for an immediate investigation after regulators accused the company of fabricating data on its rabies vaccine and supplying substandard versions of others. This mother at a Beijing hospital said she felt powerless.
I was extremely worried when I first heard about this scandal. Ever since my child was born, his first and second vaccinations were all done in the hospital. This vaccine was supposed to protect my kid's health and strengthen his immune system. But now that fake vaccines have been found and many of them are useless, I don't know what else we can do to guarantee the health of our children. If we can't even guarantee the basics of vaccine protection for our children, is there any difference between getting a vaccine or not? Getting one may even affect your kid's health.
Now, this latest investigation comes a decade after six children died from milk powder laced with melamine, a chemical used to make plastic. Peace by Chocolate. That's a brand going nationwide in Canada. Its makers are a Syrian family whose factory in Damascus was destroyed in 2012. They were taken in by Canada, and now in a tiny Nova Scotia town, they make 1,000 pieces a day and are advertising for more workers. Here's founder Tarek Haddad.
The time that we left Syria, thinking we're going very bad, from bad to worse, to worse, to worse. I had no idea that we will have the opportunity to come back to the same thing we were doing back in Syria, and my family will have the opportunity to live again. My kids will, my siblings will go to school. So, you know, these moments of uncertainty, of despair, unthinkable moments that we lived after we lost everything, we were always thinking about the next moment. We couldn't think about the next day or the future. All the gratitude to the great country we are in right now. Canada has offered us the opportunity again to live. That's exactly the message that we're trying to share in the world right now. When everyone is very close to himself, when everyone is not hearing, you know, the other, and everyone is considering and blaming all the immigrants, even if we lose anything at the moment of despair and uncertainty in the moment of war, we can come back to life very in a more powerful way to be inspiring millions and millions around the world. We couldn't actually be happier by the response that we got, especially when the Prime Minister went to the United Nations in 2016 and spoke about us in front of the leaders of the world. You would see there Angela Merkel, you see President Barack Obama was sitting there and hearing our story and clapping for us. That was our moment. And so far, we have been trying to share this message more and more and more, just because we believe that love is the answer every time. We are giving back to our fellow Syrian community, to the other Syrian refugees. At the same time, we are giving back to the country that welcomed us with open arms in 2016 without waiting from us anything. Canadians, they didn't actually ask us to do anything. They opened their hearts, their homes.
He says their chocolates combine Syrian and Canadian flavors.
We started realizing our identity in the products, and we are trying to share the Syrian culture, the Syrian flavor, the Syrian tradition, also integrate them with the Canadian flavors, the Canadian shapes, like the maple leaf. It's the Canadian icon. What we are trying to say always that this product of happiness, chocolate, is universal language of joy, and we want to share that with everyone around the world.
Tariq Haddad in Canada, and I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.